jello.
Right.
It's a solid, it's a liquid, it's a viscoelastic polymer made of polypeptide chains. Would you eat it?
I mean, it tastes good.
Why do you do that?
Do what?
Say something super smart and then bail from it.
Can you keep a secret?
No.
But this time, sure, yeah.
Okay, well, it was a really long time ago, but I, too, was a nerd.
Two?
When I was a little girl, I wore a ponytail, I had glasses, and I was totally obsessed with the science of weather. Other girls wanted a Barbie. I wanted a Doppler Weather Radar 2000 Turbo. But all the kids used to taunt me with this lame song. It wasn't even clever.
Four eyes, you need glasses to see.
Go on.
So I got a new look, gave up the sciencey smart stuff, and I was never made fun of again. And I still need these glasses, but I never wear them.
I'll bet you look great with glasses on.
Oh, I'm really
happy. And on they go.
Whoa.
What?
Nothing.
Wait. It's a Jell-O scrunchie. And now, the reveal. Wow. I mean, you were okay before, but now, you're beautiful.
No, I'm not. I can't go out in public like this.
Well, why not? I mean, this is the real you, right? Smart, bespectacled. Who wouldn't want to see that?
We work hard at making ourselves presentable. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Personally, I'm grateful that you all took the time to at least comb your hair and brush your teeth when I come here with bedheads, so we work at it. We've all met an individual with bad grooming habits or no grooming habits, and that's not a good thing. And it's interesting, the cosmetic industry as a whole has declined during this pandemic. It's still close to $600 billion a year in sales. It's just, and what's interesting, you know, when we talk about cosmetics, we call it make up, not make down. You know, we're trying to make things better. And this girl in this little cartoon video, but she did more than just apply makeup and change her look. She did what a lot of people do. She presented herself as someone other than who she really is. She put up a false front to be accepted, to fit in. And the truth is, that's a temptation we all face. We have all succumbed to something along that line. And the problem is, the real you is hidden. The person God created you to be is hidden behind the mask, if you will. You become a character on the stage called life. And when the curtain closes and a real you appears, no one can recognize you. We all want what we all want in our relationships with each other is sincerity. You want the other person to be real. They want to be truthful. And it's not surprising that God wants the same thing in his relationship with us, sincerity and honesty. And Jesus addressed this very thing in the Sermon on the Mount. We pick it up in Matthew 6, but we'll watch for his, you'll see his desire for sincerity, Matthew 6, verse 1 and following. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is seen, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus systematically, point by point, critiqued the Pharisees' interpretation of Moses' law. And he made it clear that he did not agree with their approach to God, their interpretations of God's law. And he did not agree with the impact that the teaching had on the culture of the day, how it was influencing people. And if the goal of the Pharisees in trying to follow the law was to impress God, they failed miserably. In fact, earlier on, he said to his listeners and to us today that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. So now Jesus at this point begins to point us, the point in the sermons begin to point us in the direction of what an honest and sincere relationship with God should look like. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you have an honest, sincere, abiding relationship with God, it will have an impact of others around you. And it should. But it's never about how you look. It's never about how we look, how religious we may look before others. And Jesus picks three themes, if you will, that were and are common to the Jews and to almost every other religion for that matter. Alms, prayer, and fasting. Fasting would come a few verses later. Now, these three good works of alms, prayer, and fasting have occupied a conspicuous place in all serious religious systems and have been almost universally regarded as the chief means of obtaining salvation and the clearest proof of having righteousness and sanctity. If you do these three things, Jesus knows, as hopefully we do as well, that righteousness is only obtained through salvation by Jesus Christ and in Christ. It's the finished work of Christ on the cross that allows us to be in right standing before the Father. And in an honest and sincere relationship with God, you will give to the needy, you will pray, and you will at times fast. You will do all the things. But if it's done from your heart, not to look good to others and to fit in a church, it makes a significant difference. Jesus is saying the act of doing those things is loathsome to him and his Father. In fact, he says, if that's your goal, you've achieved it. If you want to just look good to others, then that's it. You've got your reward. That's fine if that's what you're shooting for. It's kind of a low standard. It's certainly not Christ's desire, but that's what you're shooting for. You got it. He said, that's okay. You may have it, but don't be looking for any recognition from God. He's not impressed, and he does not reward hypocrisy. The Jews of Jesus' day were very proficient in acting religious. And it wasn't what they did that bothered Jesus. In fact, he would expect you and I and them to be prayerful and to be giving to others. In first seven verses of chapter 6, Jesus says, when you give twice and when you pray three times. It's when you do these things, here's how you should be doing them. It wasn't what they did that bothered Jesus. It was the why they did it. Their motivation behind it. In Matthew 6:2, Jesus says, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. Now, when we hear the word hypocrite, when we think what? A phony, fake, fraud? I mean, they're acting one way, but that's not them at all. They're trying to get something out of you. And it has that meaning, but in the original language, when Jesus said the word hypocrite, it meant actor, actually stage player, an actor, a stage player. In the cities of his day, the theater in the city was often the most impressive building in the city. They loved doing plays. They loved going to plays, and they were popular, much like TV and movies are today. And most of the plays, as you study history of it, were based on pagan myths, so it's unlikely that Jesus went to them, but he knew of them. I've read where actors in the first century would regularly come out on the city streets to attract crowds, so then they would come with a big show. They'd be banging drums, blasting trumpets, and they would perform a little bit of their play as a teaser, kind of like a modern-day movie trailer would be today. And they'd come out in the streets and they'd do these things to get people to come in to watch the play. But they would be wearing these grotesque theatrical masks. In Greek theater, actors typically wore masks to portray characters. I mean, they didn't have the means of their makeup and the computer stuff that we have today. So they would wear these masks and they would sometimes be grotesque and they would change them throughout the play to depict what they were trying to express. In fact, we're familiar with these Greek masks that represent comedy and tragedy. They're from that origin. And several times we hear Jesus use the word hypocrite as he's speaking of them. Substitute the word actor and it becomes a little clearer. Playing to be something you're not. And so when you're acting as one who is faithful, but you're really not, then you are, in our language, a true hypocrite. We're trying to be something. We're trying to portray a front. But our inner man doesn't represent that at times. And the reason religious of Jesus, they did these things, was to be honored by men. Matthew 6:1, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. And the phrase to be seen, it contains a verb in original Greek which is directly related to our theater, our word, English word theater. It's like you're playing a part to be recognized, so you appear to be something you're not. A few verses later in chapter 6, Jesus speaks of a third expected part of true faith, and we pick it up at 6:16. And when you fast, don't make it obvious, as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face, then no one will notice that you're fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private. And your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. You know, it's interesting when we think about this, really what Christ is saying here. The Father knows what you do in private. We love that idea when we're praying. God knows I'm praying. He hears my every word. He hears my every thought. But sometimes the stuff that we do in the private, our own mind, our own actions, we're hoping God's not paying a lot of attention. But he knows it. And I think that's a credible promise that he knows what you're doing at all times. I've shared this in the past. This was years and years ago. Our daughter was up from Florida, I think, at the time. It was Florida at the time. And for whatever reason, she had a couple little babies and kids, and she was driving back by herself. I don't remember, her husband had to fly somewhere, business. And so I said, all right, I'll drive back with you, and then I'll fly home. So we got somebody to preach. It was over the weekend. So we drove so far to Florida, and we got a hotel for the night. And we got up the next morning, Sunday morning. Now we're down in the south. It's a warm time of the year. And so we stopped to have breakfast. So I'm sitting in this little place, kind of like a Denny's or whatever, and I had shorts on with my daughter and the grandkids, and we're getting ready to leave, and there was a table of about four ladies or so, and as I walked by, I kind of smiled and said hi, and the woman goes, you're a pastor, aren't you? And I'm thinking, how does she know that? I'm in shorts, it's Sunday morning, I should be in church, right? And I'm down south, it's like, and she said, well, the Lord just spoke that to me. And it's always reminded me that no matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm doing, God knows. And that's good. To me, that's encouraging. I mean, like I said, there's sometimes we like, can you look the other way, get a little busy, Lord? You know, you don't have to pay too close attention to this. But the reality is, there's a great comfort in knowing, I don't care where you go, what you're doing, he's with you. He's fully aware of what's happened in your life. He had no other reason to tell that woman to say that, just other than be encouraging to me. But if you pay attention to what Jesus is saying here, the idea of a reward is not lost on Christ. Scripture has a lot to say about rewards. And he's talking about, if that you want your reward to just be seen, all right, you've got it. But he also acknowledges that a true faith in Christ that's not hypocritical has its set of rewards. The point is not about rewards, but God speaks of them nonetheless. And when Jesus spoke about the false religion the Pharisees were portraying, he called them hypocrites, actors, stage players. And if you notice, he didn't say they were jerks. He didn't say they were stupid. He said they weren't sincere. They were acting. They want this relationship. They want to look like they're the leaders. They have it all together. But it's not really who they are. You've probably heard and know of Walsh University in Canton, Ohio, a respected Catholic university. It was founded in 1951 in Alfred, Maine, actually, and in the leadership of a man named Brother John Payne of the Christian Brothers of Instruction. And it was originally called, I believe, Lamanas College, is a French name. Moved to Canton in 1959 and changed his name in 1960. And Brother John Payne, who founded the college, was a great imposter. He became known as the Great Pretender. In fact, in 1961, a movie was made about his life called The Great Imposter, and it starred Tony Curtis. Now, who here knows who Tony Curtis is? You just told off. You're a bunch of old people. I'm just putting it out there. Young people are going, Tony who? What? Help us, Jesus. But Fred's real name was Ferdinand, Payne's real name was Ferdinand, and they called him Fred DeMara, his actual name, and he really must have been a good actor. Throughout his life, he masqueraded and pretended to be a monk, a surgeon, a civil engineer, a deputy sheriff, a doctor of psychology, a cancer researcher, a teacher, and a prison warden. Faking credentials, he gets onto a Navy ship during the Korean War, and they bring on several casualties. And he actually performed several surgeries. He's on there faking to be a doctor, the only surgeon on board. So when they bring a patient in and they would put him on anesthesia, as they were putting him on anesthesia, he'd run back, speed read, he brought these books, speed read that surgery, and he had this incredible photographic mind. He'd speed read what you're supposed to do in the surgery. He performed all the surgery, and everybody lived. I mean, the guy was a huge imposter. Ultimately, he often caught. He did well fooling people for a while. Eventually, the mask slipped. And we're all familiar with masks today. Some of us are sitting in the sanctuary with the mask on because of this pandemic. But his mask of pretending slipped. And eventually, he finally settled down. He became a Christian, gave his life to Christ, went to Multnomah College in Portland, Oregon, moved to Los Angeles, and he worked the rest of his life as a well-loved chaplain in a local hospital. After a life of pretending, Fred DeMara found the satisfaction of authenticity. He said for years he was afraid to be real, that he was trapped in pretending, and he found authenticity in Christ. And Jesus is the only place where we can find who we truly are and who we were truly meant to be. We're all made in the likeness and image of God. It is in Him that we find real meaning. And it's Him where we find the truth, especially when we are truthful with Him. Truth we can live by, truth we can live with, and no need of pretending. Jesus looks around the Pharisees and He sees people trapped in pretending. He's come to bring a real faith, a true faith, but He sees people trapped in pretending. And while He had no patience for false religion, He shouted loudly, if you will, the danger of following false teaching. He was preaching to them, not about them. We look at it now and we say, yeah, He's preaching about them, and that makes sense to us. But they were in the crowds of the day. These Pharisees and these false teachers, they heard Him speak of what He was speaking of. And I believe His greatest joy was seeing a Pharisee come to trust and rest in Christ. Drop the charade. It's only then that He could really change your life inwardly, change your character. And it's only when we get real with Christ in our walk with Him that He can really begin to work on our hearts where we need it. We marvel at somebody like a Fred DeMara that can do these ridiculous things and pull it off. You know, how's it in the world is it possible to fool so many people over and over again? But perhaps if we take a close look at our own lives, we get a little better understanding. Hopefully we don't have any Fred Damaras in here, if you will, but we've all been imposters at one time or another. We have all portrayed ourselves as somebody or something at some point in time, inwardly we knew that's just not the truth. We don't really want to know somebody who we are or what we're feeling or what we're experiencing or, you know, for all sorts of reasons. We act a certain way that we think is expected of us to be assured we fit in. We put up walls when we've been hurt so we don't get hurt again. We hide behind these walls, acting out a part, pretending to be someone we're really not. I never saw that movie that I remember, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, and we watched that little clip. It looks like it's worth watching, actually, you know, kind of cute, but I just found this little thing as an illustration. But that girl in the little clip was called Sam, and she held on to her ex-classmates' value of her in their words for 20 years and allowed them to define her. She changed who she projected to be rather than being who she really is. She was living a false reality. That may be the worst part of the way we tend to do things. We even fool ourselves after a while. We behave like we're expected to. After all, we call ourselves Christians, and Christians are supposed to act a certain way. But here's the good news. I have never found that acting a certain way got me anywhere closer or deeper with my relation with Christ. It's when we turn to Him in righteousness and truth with our helplessness and our weaknesses in honesty that we begin to get help. Because it's now, He says, I can deal with this. If I come to Christ and I admit a weakness or a challenge or whatever I'm working through, and you do the same thing in your relationship, He said, okay, that's not where I want you to be, but we can work with this. It's when you don't admit it, you're not really ready to change. And we all share one thing in common. All of us have sinned at one point or another in life. We all have done that. For those of us here that have trusted Christ for our salvation, we came to Him a sinner. We get that. We trust Jesus for our very eternity. Why is it when we trust Him for our very eternity that we think we need to act a certain way now till we get there? And I'm not saying this is a license to behave however you want. I'll just do this. I'm going to be real before God and it doesn't matter. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the things that we're doing that are hypocritical, the things that we're doing we're not being honest with, God says, I want you to be honest with me. It's not a license to behave any way we want to. What it is a challenge, if you will, to take a sincere look at where you're at. Turn to Christ in everything, trusting to see Him through. And it doesn't mean that you're worthless in your walk with God. I'm not saying that at all. We all know there are places we have room to work. And we all know that it's important at all times to be honest with God. Not to be hypocritical. To be honest with Him. Be honest with our walk with Him. Absolute honesty and sincerity. You know, in this crazy new reality we are currently living in, we've become accustomed to wearing masks in public, avoid spreading the coronavirus. It's what we're supposed to be doing. And masks hide what's really going on behind them. We can come to church as well, the place where you get real help. And we've all been guilty of, how you doing? I'm doing fine, and inwardly you're not. You don't want to admit it. And I'm not saying you should come in and just drop all your problems to just anybody, but the body of Christ is part of God's answer to challenging each other, to helping each other, to bring healing to each other by words spoken and blessings spoken over each other and encouragement with each other. And certainly when we go before God, to be so honest with Him. It's time to take off our spiritual masks. allow Jesus to keep changing us from the inside out. If you work through the Sermon on the Mount, the vast majority of it was dealing with character issues. What our relationship is, where God wants to take us. And the good news is, no matter where we're at today, whether you're struggling in your relationship, whether you're doing phenomenal in your relationship with God, no matter where you find yourself, He wants to take you farther. He wants to take you deeper. He wants you to know there's so much more, and He's calling you to be real with Him. Invite the worship team to come forward. If there is a religious system with external gauges for spirituality, a checklist of behaviors to accomplish, if you will, we will naturally want to become high achievers, to get our gold stars, our merit badges, and our standing ovations. And our spiritual lives become less about a relationship with God and more about the applause. God wants sincerity. And God offers grace, and grace, because it emphasizes God's unconditional initiating love, grace encourages honesty. God gives us grace, and in that grace, we can be honest. When you begin to understand there's nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. And when you get that, you might as well be authentic. Very popular, I think they're still popular, selfies. What's that all about? They actually have, I think it's in June 21st, I looked up, a National Selfie Day. I mean, I'm not saying, if you're on social media, you've seen them. And you know, sometimes I'll see my kids and their kids, and I like to see that kind of thing, you know. But the individual selfie, I mean, it's a cry for attention. Look who I am. And nobody ever takes a selfie when they first get up in the morning, do they? And post that, you know? I mean, we do what? Let's drop the mask. God sees the heart. You don't have to perform with Him. You don't have to live for the applause of others. You already have the grace of the Father. What else do we need? And Christ doesn't call you out of one performance-oriented religious system to another. He calls us in a relationship of honesty for reality. And dropping the mask is the first step to becoming a true, real Christ follower. Let's stand and worship our God together.